on a future hold. Father, we give you the praise and the honor for tonight. We appreciate your faithfulness. Thank you, Father, because you hold the future, our future, in your hands. Be glorified, Lord. Thank you, Master. Touch someone. Let not one person live here the same. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord the praise as you take your seat. I cannot hear what the future holds, for you hold my future in your hands. I cannot hear what the future holds, for you hold the future in your hands. Here tonight, in the precious name of Jesus Christ. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. I am speaking very quickly on the subject, covenant details for supernatural supply. Covenant details for supernatural supply. Covenant details for divine abundance. Our objective tonight is to understand the details of divine provision. The covenant details of divine provision. The covenant details of supernatural abundance. Last week we saw that God blesses his people on the platform of the covenant of supernatural supplies. It's a covenant. It's a platform of the covenant. As long as the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and heat, summer and winter, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, because he is the one who gives you power to get wealth. So there is a covenant. Now covenant means there is what man must do, and in order to commit what God should do. There is what man must do to commit what God will do. That is what covenant is all about. It's different from a promise. A promise is, I am going to do this for you. Then you wait for when the person wants to do it for you. But a covenant is, you will do this and I will do this. That is a covenant. So this evening we are going to look at the covenant details. What is it that man must do in order to become a candidate for supernatural supply? What is it that man must do in order for man to be the candidate of divine supply? What should you do? Number one, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And its righteousness. Seek first. We saw that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are those things? If you look at verse 31 all the way to verse 32 and forward, take therefore no thought saying, what shall we eat? That's talking about the things. What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things, what to eat, what to drink, what to wear, what to drive, after all these things do the Gentiles seek after. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things which they struggle to get, to drink, to wear, to drive, shall be added unto you. In 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and in verse 5, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he sought God, talking about King Uzziah. Seek first the kingdom of God. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. The twin of that scripture. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. What is the meaning of this? Make God's kingdom your life's priority. Make God's kingdom. That is, in practice, make God and his kingdom your life's priority. Above every other thing. Above every other thing. And all these things shall be added unto you. That is number one. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number two, set your love on God. That's right. Set your love on God. Is it different from the first one? Yes. The first one is dealing more with commitment or service. This second one is dealing with affection and connection. You know, there are people who go to work, not that they love the job, or they love the boss, or they love the organization, but they need to be paid. That's the difference between serving and loving. This second one is telling you that God should command your affection and command your attention. There is nobody you love like God and nothing you love like God. Nobody and nothing takes the place of God in your life. And nobody and nothing can come in between you and God. Did you see those three things? There is nobody you love like God and nothing you love like God. Then there is nothing that can take the place of God in your life. And then there is nothing that can come between you and God. That is love for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9. Nobody and nothing you love like God. Nobody and nothing can take the place of God in your life. And nobody and nothing can come between you and God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 9 and 10. He said, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. That love him. That love him. There are things God has prepared for them that love him. Things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, things that have not entered the heart of anybody.
Not just spiritual things, things. That is, love for God will usher you into the realm of results, the realm of supplies, the realm of manifestation beyond imagination. That happened to Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 3 and in verse 3a, the Bible said, and Solomon loved the Lord. Solomon loved the Lord. Walking in the statutes of his father. In verse 4, Solomon went and offered sacrifice on the basis of that love for God. Now verse 4 all the way to verse 13. I won't have the time to read because of time. Then God appeared to him in the night and asked him, what do you want me to do for you? And he asked God for knowledge and for wisdom. God gave him the knowledge and gave him the wisdom. He said, because you didn't ask for riches and you didn't ask for all of this, I am going to give you the knowledge and the wisdom, but I'll give you riches, I'll give you supplies, I'll give you resources, and I'll give you longevity of life, and I'll make you so great with so much honor that there will be no king that has ever existed before you, and there is no king that will exist after you like you. So Solomon stepped into a realm of unimaginable supplies, unimaginable results, unimaginable resources, until the kings of the earth were coming to see Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 10 and in verse 23 and 24, in verse 10, the queen of Sheba came. All the kings of the earth came. It's confirming 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 9. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. It has not entered the heart of man. The things which God has prepared for those that love him. Beloved, what is your greatest love today? It determines what God can do with you as far as results are concerned. What do you love above every other thing? It determines what God can do for you. I prophesy upon someone here today, a fresh baptism of love for God, a fresh baptism of passion for God, a fresh baptism of the heart for God be released upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. You believe that, say aloud, amen. Number 3. So number 1, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number 2, set your love on God. Number 3, look up to God alone. Look up only to God. Look up to God alone. Meaning of that is, look away from anything and anybody but God. Why is that so? Jeremiah chapter 17 and in verse 5 all the way to verse 8. Jeremiah 17, 5 all the way to verse 8. Say, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. He's relying on flesh, on man, and whose heart departed from the Lord. So it's not possible for you to trust in man and trust in God at the same time. He said, when you are depending on man, your heart has departed from God. Am I communicating? When you are relying on human beings, your heart has left God. He said, for he shall dwell, he shall be like the heath in the desert. He shall not see when good cometh, but he shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land not inhabited. The person who is relying on man is signing for frustration. Signature for dryness. But look at the contrary. It's not, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be like as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And it shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. That is the destiny. The destiny of the man, the woman, whose hope God is the destiny of fruitfulness, destiny of flourishing, destiny of progress, destiny of prosperity. The destiny of the person, on the other hand, whose confidence is in man, scarcity, adversity, empty-handedness, disappointment. How many of you have been disappointed by anybody before? No matter who they are. Man is subject to failure. No matter how rich they are. Do you hear what I just said? No matter how rich, how wealthy, how important they are subject to failure.
by human nature, they can fail. Many times, they may fail not deliberately. Maybe their own businesses failed. Something they were trusting in failed. Just something failure. The only person that can't fail is God. He cannot fail. He cannot change. He cannot lie. He cannot die. That is why the Bible calls him the present help in time of trouble. Because there are some people who can help you, but they are not present. And there are those who are present. Plenty of them, but they can't help. Hallelujah. Somebody say aloud, amen. Don't look to anybody, not even yourself. Because yourself can fail. Don't look to anybody, not even your wisdom. Don't beat your chest and say, see what I can do and see what I have been able to do. Don't look to nobody. That has been my secret. God taught me this from the university days, high institution level. He taught me from 200 level in the second year. I stepped into the ministry looking at nobody and nothing but till today, till tomorrow. If we're looking at people, this house wouldn't have been built yet. There were people who made pledges for this construction. Somebody said he was going to do the whole of the floor. Hundreds of millions. That pledge has not been redeemed yet. Let me not see other things. Hey! Many pledges. Various. Not that they are bad people. Just that maybe whatever they were looking forward to didn't work out. That is why those who look up to man, they sign permanently for failure. That will never be your portion. And God is a jealous God. Once you begin to look up to a man, he will leave you and the man alone. It's a jealous God. He doesn't want any human being to take his glory. He doesn't have. Don't misunderstand me. God will use people as channel, but not as source. He remains the source. The person remains the channel. And never you turn a channel into a source. That was what, if Elijah did that, when the brook dried up, he would have dried with the brook. Don't turn a channel into a source. Let the channel remain the channel. Let God remain the source. Somebody say amen. Seek first the kingdom of God. Now, in Genesis chapter 14, verse 22 to verse 23, Abraham speaking. He said, I have lifted up my hands. Abraham said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up my hand unto the Lord, the most high God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe lashet. And that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. I don't want anybody to take the glory for my making. No wonder Abraham was so rich, so abundantly rich, because he never looked up to man. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Set your love on God. Look up to God alone. Number four. Now, these are covenant details. Some people, when we talk about the practice of the covenant, they think it is just tithing and giving. There are good tithers who don't do what I'm saying now. He's tithing, but he's looking at a man. He's tithing, but he's God is secondary or third in his life. It's like plus one, minus one. Now, number four is the central one, which most of us are used to. Be committed to the covenant practice of giving. The covenant practice of giving. That is the center of it. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. If there will be a harvest time, there must be a seed time. Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully.
every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. That giving dimension is non-negotiable. Acts chapter 20 verse 35. Paul the apostle speaking. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Giving begins with the tithe. I will not be able to go into the details of that tonight, but maybe in the course of the month before the month is totally out. The tithe does not take the place of the offering and vice versa. There are good offering givers who don't understand the covenant of the tithe. And there are good tithers, and that is where they stop. The tithe opens the heaven. The seed, the offering, plants the seed in the earth. It's good for the heavens to be open so that the rain can fall on the seed. An open heaven without a seed in the ground is a wet soil. Seed in the soil without an open heaven is dried up seed. They go together. That is why he said, What am I having against you? You have robbed me in your tithes and in your offerings. It went together all the time. This is very, very important. And if you have not been faithful and committed, I have been to God, by God's grace, tenaciously and religiously giving tithes and offering since the year of 1986. And that means 37 years. Is that right? This year. Am I correct? Is that a number of years? Yes. And my wife is here. She's the one that signs our tithe check. She has all the checkbooks. I write and then I sign. She writes, I sign. The checks are with her. So there is no need under heaven that has ever come between. Of course, she won't sign my signature. She writes and I sign. No need under heaven. That is, this has started before becoming a pastor. Am I communicating at all? So, it is not what you do occasionally that changes your life. It's what you do tenaciously. It's what you do consistently. The right thing must be done for long enough for it to produce the right results. Am I communicating at all? There are those who do the things and they do it for a while and they just beat their chest and praise themselves that they have done so much. No. Tenaciously, insistently, persistently, it changes your life. Seek first the kingdom of God. Set your love on God. Look up to God alone. Be committed to the covenant practice of giving. I wrote here, I say, it doesn't matter how sincere you are and how spiritual you are. If you are not a giver, you may remain a beggar. You are sincere. You are spiritual. You can pray for long. But you don't understand giving. Number 5, be faithful. It's a covenant detail. Be faithful. Be faithful. Have integrity. Have character. Be reliable. That's what it means. Have integrity. Have character. Be reliable. Especially in financial matters. Be faithful. Have integrity. Have character. Be reliable. Especially in financial matters. In every matter. But now we are talking on finances. In Psalm 28 and in verse 20. The Bible said, the faithful man shall abound with a blessing. Proverbs 28 verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with the blessings. A man of character. A man of integrity, a person who is reliable. You can do business with him and be safe. And your heart can trust him. And you don't have a sleepless, you don't need to have sleepless night because you are in business with him. Such a man who can be trusted will be entrusted with resources, both by God and man. If he can be trusted, he will be entrusted with resources. Both by God and man. But the second part is too important. But he that maketh haste to be rich. Cheat people to be rich. Cut corners to be rich. Mix petrol and kerosene to be rich.
rebar the cement to the rich. What else? Cheat people to the rich. Put rotten tomato under and the fresh one on top and sell it to the rich. Put dry mortuary bound potato under. Put the other one on top to be rich. He that maketh haste to be rich, he cannot be innocent. He will break his hand. He may go to prison and he cannot get the blessing. I read this passage to a young man the other day. I said, calm down. You are too much in a hurry. Just calm down a bit. You can make money and you can make it well, but calm down. You are too in a hurry. Somebody say aloud, amen. The faithful man. That was the secret of Joseph. Genesis 39, verse 5 and in verse 6. When Joseph, and it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field, verse 6 now. And he left, the Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not what he had except the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. He committed his billions into the hand of Joseph because he was faithful. The same with Daniel in Daniel chapter 6 verse 3 and 4. When the king saw, then this Daniel was preferred above the presence and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought, or literally set him over the whole realm. Then the presence and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Somebody say amen. And of course, Job was the greatest man in the East. Job chapter 1 verse 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was perfect and upright. One that eschewed, that feared God and eschewed evil. And they were born to him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Verse 3 said, this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. Because he had financial integrity. Financial integrity will always attract financial prosperity. But financial wretchedness is the product of financial crookedness. I like you to make it easy for God to empower you. Let us make it easy for God to entrust us. He wants you to be trusted so you can be entrusted. He said, he that is not faithful in the mammon of unrighteousness, who will commit to his hand the true riches? Ordinary 100,000 deal between you and somebody, there are stories. And God said, who will give you 10 million? Ordinary 10 million, there are stories. Who will give you 1 billion? Hallelujah. Be faithful so you can be. It's a covenant detail. There are people who claim to be paying tithe and claim to be giving offerings, and yet they are very, very crooked. I know of some Christians that I've heard of. There is nobody who ever did a business with them that didn't have a complaint. Not one. That is, you can bet. If you ever saw anybody who had a business with him and there was no problem, let me give you 10,000. You can bet like that. What, man? And then you look at their lives, it's just remaining in the same cycle. The same cycle. Be faithful. It's a covenant detail. Those who, you may receive the teaching, I will give and it shall be given to you. That is money, that's gambling. That is, if all that it entails is you give 10 naira, you get 100 naira back, that is gambling, so to speak. That's not a covenant. Just a segment of it. Hallelujah. Be faithful. Number 6, be diligent. Be diligent means be responsible.
Be hard working. Do something with your hands. It's part of the covenant. Be faithful. Be diligent. Sorry, be diligent means be responsible. Be hard working. Do something with your hands. Do something with your hands. Do something with your hands. Do something with your life. Do something. Don't allow life to pass you by. Don't sit down waiting for roasted chicken to fly into your mouth. Don't sit waiting for opportunities. Go for opportunities. Deuteronomy 28:8, the Bible said, the Lord shall command the blessing upon you in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thy hand unto. The blessing of God is looking for the work of your hands. On all that thou settest your hand unto. Proverbs 10 and in verse 4. He said, the hand of the diligent, rather, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. But the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He becomes poor. It's a process. He's getting poor. He's becoming poor. He becometh poor. And he remaineth poor. It's a process. He becometh poor. To be slack is to lack. You will never see a slack person that will not be buried in lack. He becometh poor that dealeth with his slack hand. Proverbs chapter 13 verse 4. Proverbs 13 verse 4. A verse 13 4. The soul of the sluggard desireth. I want to eat turkey today. I want to eat shawarma today. I want to eat for the chicken and chips. He desireth and is having nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. You have two choices to make. Hard work or hard life. You can't choose the two of them. It is hard work or what? If you choose hard work, you have escaped hard life. And if you avoid hard work, you must embrace hard life. There is no two ways about it. 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 I am not in ministry for the sake of what to get, but for my passion to touch lives. Those who walk around, they know. No matter how much I'm in a hurry and they say, this person was brought from Lagos or from here and is sick, my journey is arrested on the spot. There are times I'll be screaming on demons. Like I should see them physically. That is the kind of passion that made me preach about 5 messages in Ghana last week. I preached on Thursday night, 1 message. I preached 6 messages. I preached on Thursday night, 1 message. On Friday morning, another message. On Friday afternoon, another message. Think Friday evening, another message. Then night vigil of that same Friday, another message. Then I passed through our church on Saturday morning for another impartation service. All together. And then came here and preached on Sunday morning like I have not preached for the last 1 month. You are away on Sunday morning dealing with ancient foundations, evil foundations. It was a thesis dissertation. Is that lazy man's life? Yet if people see you now, they say, this man is lucky. Oh. Come and try the luck. Come and enjoy the luck. And all the messages were different. One of the pastors there said he cannot understand what is going on here. None was repeated. Details were different. Examples were different. Scriptures were different. None was picked from here to and refurbished for the other place. And many of, my secretary, they are writing the books out of those messages now. Because of how fresh they were. And they haven't heard of that. That is the level of work that is going on. And that work is generating so much impact. And as the impact is happening, the one who employed you from above said, you are working hard, your life cannot be hard. That is, you are not on church salary. You are not on salary from church. You are not on it, but I will handle you. Somebody say amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody say louder amen. Look at your neighbor and say, what are you doing with your hands? What is the work of your hands? Not a beggar. Not a borrower. I'm a giver. Giver by his mercies. And I am not tired. You know, laziness is more tiring. Sit, take your seat. Is God speaking to somebody here? Listen to this. This morning, when you woke up from the bed, you woke up from somebody's handwork. Who made the bed? You passed through a door that's another person's handwork, to enter a bathroom, to either stand under a shower or lie in a bathtub that is another person's handwork. And when you are pressed, you went and sat on the throne that is another person's handwork. Using the soap, when it's time to have your bath, soap manufactured by another person, towel by another person, cream by another person, your work cloth by another person, comb your hair by another person, brush your teeth, the handwork of another person. And all these things, they didn't give you free of charge. You paid for them. Question is, what are they paying you for? Either a good, a product, or a service. Even if you didn't manufacture something, what service are you offering for which people will separate resources to give you? You're paying everybody else. Who is paying you? And you think in your payment of everybody, you thought you are enjoying your life. No, you are enhancing their lives. We'll talk about that when the house is fuller, so that people can hear word. There are people, when money enters their hand, the only thing on their mind is how to finish it. And they have never thought of what. So this thing that by the time 10 naira is going out of your hand, there should be avenues of it coming back 10 times minimum. Somebody say amen. Be diligent. Ensure. In the book of Genesis chapter 47, I believe in verse 6, when Pharaoh was going to engage the brethren of Joseph, he said, the land of Egypt is before thee, in the best of the land. Make thy father and thy brethren dwell. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if you know any men among them, men of activity, energetic people, hardworking people among them, put them in charge of my flock. Pharaoh was not looking for lazy people. He was looking for hardworking people.
It is part of a covenant. Our covenant fathers, Abraham, they were tireless workers. Abraham walked and walked and walked and walked. He dug wells. He was leading an army at the age of over 100. In Genesis chapter 14, or close to 100. Isaac was tireless. He wearied out the Philistines. He dug a well, they blocked it. He dug another one. Jacob, that one was a workaholic. That was how the blessing of God rested on them. Not by sitting down and say, give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, press that. It's correct. It's correct to a great degree, but there is some things God is going to bless you, but he wants to bless something you are doing. Am I communicating? Can I ask you a question? 1 times 1 is what? 1 times 100. 1 times 1 million. 1 million. That's just doing something and God gives you a million times blessing. What is that? 1 times 1 billion. 2 times 1 billion. 2 times 2 billion. 0 times 10 billion. Zero times 1 trillion. Allah, Allah. God says, I want to embarrass you with blessing, but surrender, supply me, give me something, I will lay the blessing on top. Then you brought zero. You will not be empty handed. And shortly I prophesy to you, God will open your eyes to know what to do with your hands, what to do with your life that will attract your resources, that will be so strange and people will be shocked. I decree in the name of Jesus, it is done. If you are saying amen, say it louder, amen. If you are saying amen, say the Lord must say amen. If you are saying amen, say the louder believers, amen. Look at your neighbor, say, did you hear anything? Say, supply something. Not zero. Supply something. And God will multiply it. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. Number 7, avoid indebtedness. Indebtedness. Avoid indebtedness. It's anti-covenant. Living in debt is a frustration of the covenant of supernatural supplies. Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 6. He said, for the Lord your God blesseth you. His blessing is coming on you as he promised thee. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow. Thou shalt reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. The Lord your God will bless you on the condition thou shalt not borrow. When you make borrowing a lifestyle, you excuse your life from the blessing. I sat down with a billionaire. God has restored him. He borrowed to enter into a venture. I'm talking of a dollar billionaire. He said, before I borrowed, I was worth at least $1.14 billion. 1.14. Thereabout. It's 1 point something in the range of 1404. He said, before I took the loan, he said, the loan flattened me out. He said, he came to the point where it was as if the bank wanted to take the business. They were making it impossible for him to finish paying the loan so they could take over the business. So it was as if they were even conspiring to make things terrible for him. So that at the end, he will lose it all. God, prayer, and all manner of desperation rescued him. You know what he told me? He said, Pastor, please tell the brethren they should not borrow. He said, I'm talking from experience. He said, they should not borrow. They tell them not to borrow. Only God brought him out. Only God brought him out. Am I communicating? He said, the Lord blessed thee. But that is borrowing eats up the blessing. It will swallow the blessing until it appears like the blessing never existed. He blessed thee as he has sworn unto you. But thou, as he promised you, and you shall lend, fine. But thou shall not borrow. The word is too absolute. Shall not. It's part of the covenant. Do anything you can do, but avoid borrowing. He said, in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12. Deuteronomy 28 and in verse 12. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. God is so angry. Proverbs 22 verse 7. He said, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. Romans 13:8, owe no man nothing but love. The only debt you are licensed to be in is the perpetual debt of love. That perpetual debt. Hallelujah. What is the borrowing all about? Borrowing takes you first. It takes you out of the covenant. That is, you are on your own. Right? Borrowing takes you out of the covenant coverage. That is, you are working things out by yourself. That's the first thing. And then borrowing, maybe second, causes you to look at alternatives and sources other than God. Alternatives and sources other than God. Not my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory anymore. My God shall supply all my needs according to who can borrow me money. Even here now, I've seen a lot of people. Somebody say he wanted to commit suicide. I mean, I've seen such cases, not one, not two, not three. Why? The loan hanging on my head, I don't know how to pay it. They say they are going to eject me out of there. In fact, they are coming to pick me tomorrow. All manner of text messages hanging on borrowing. And then, thirdly, borrowing causes you to attack the blessings that are yet to arrive. You are attacking the blessing. They have not arrived, but you are attacking them. You are spending money you don't yet have. Spending money that is yet to enter your hand. And God said, no, I can't. That is, money is coming, but I have spent it. It's a new day. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. If you have a transaction and they gave you the term of payment, like this is 1 million. I'm buying this house for 100 million. Pay 50 million now. Pay 15 million. Pay 25 million after 3 months. And pay another 25 million after 6 months. If they give you such an agreement of payment, it's possible. For as long as you honor the terms of the agreement, that's an agreement. This is a payment term. It's an agreement. When it is time to pay the 50, you pay the 50. When it is time to pay the 25, you pay the 25. When it is time to pay the other 25, you pay the other 25. That agreement is followed. Technically, you are not in debt. Because it was an agreement of payment. A term of payment. When you cross that term by one day, you have entered debt. Because the Bible says, the wages of a hired servant must not sleep with you overnight.
Are you following what I'm saying here today? When they give you, you went to a financial institution and they gave you 100 million to do business and they took your house that is worth 250 million because you took 100 million. Technically, you are not owing each other. As a matter of fact, they may be the one owing you. But how many of you know that when they will sell that house because you refuse to pay, they might not give you any balance? And as much as it is possible, if that arrangement is avoidable, it should be permanently avoided. When they want to give you a loan, they will be laughing at you. When they want to get their money back, you will be shocked at the kind of letter they will write to you. It is then you will realize that it was not a help. It is then you will realize that you are not in the picture. It's not, your interest was not the center of that lending. I know those working in bank may not like me right now, but I have to speak harshly. You know, our ministry and assignment comes across many people. It comes across many people. And we are not doing it intentionally. We just want the people to be helped. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say loud amen. What do you do? If you are in debt right now, get out as fast as you can. If you are not in debt yet, don't enter it. Am I communicating at all? Let God show you work to do. Let God show you ways you can go about things. Needs will be permanent. This ground here has a lot of structures that need to go up in a hurry. Every building on this ground has been approved. Everyone. The ones that have not yet been built. We have office towers here. We have a shopping mall here. We have this 8-to-11-story building, 5-star hotel up there on this same ground. We have a medical facility right in here. We have the approval for 2 gas stations in here. All of them are there. But he makes all things beautiful in his time. Life becomes stressful when you want to beat your season and time. It becomes very, very stressful. What you are meant to achieve tomorrow, you are struggling to achieve it yesterday. Life becomes stressful when you want to beat your seasons and timings. Somebody say aloud, amen. Avoid indebtedness. And finally, avoid wastefulness. The two of them are relations. They are, in fact, I think they are twins. Wastefulness. Spending money on things you don't need at all. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 9. Proverbs 18 verse 9. He said, he that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. The man who is lazy and the man who is wasteful, they are brothers. The same father gave birth to them. What is the name? Poverty. What is their mother's name? Scarcity. Poverty marries scarcity. Kai. Praise the Lord. Money is in haste. Where waste is in place. Don't forget it. Anytime there is waste, there is the haste of resources. You see, in Luke chapter 15 verse 11, when this young boy, the prodigal son, carried his mother's, his father's resources, and he went into a strange land, he said, a certain man had 2 sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth unto me," and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all that together, and he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And then when he has spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Scarcity will always arise for men and women who understand waste.
God will never release his blessing on waste. If you remember the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes in John chapter 6 verse 11 to 12. After Jesus multiplied 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They said, gather the fragments that remain. Let nothing be lost. That was the secret. God knew that nothing would be lost. So he released abundant blessing. That multiplied food. If it will be lost, God will never release the blessing. Am I speaking to anybody at all? There are things that we have that are excessive that we can release. There are people wasting food every night. From when we started our life together with my wife, waste was completely eliminated. There's nothing like seeing a Gary or something in the dustbin tomorrow. It's not possible. Is it possible? No. If it doesn't... If it's not finished today, it can be refrigerated, it can be put somewhere, and tomorrow it's stored, and then it can be repackaged, refurbished, and represented. Well, I learned it a long time ago. You know, how many of you grew up in the village? The food of last night, the moldable of last night, it is sweeter in the morning of the following day. Especially when you put it inside clay pot. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? You put it inside clay pot the next morning, and then it's draw soup. And they warm the soup with the food. Then the crusted department of the soup around the wall, you use this finger to... Not understand what I'm talking about. This finger becomes an asset. Oh my God. Oh, you think the way I'm looking, I didn't pass through village. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is very, very important. There are so many people, when God sees the way you handle food and the way you handle things, he says, leave this man alone. He's not ready for anything yet. You have not started life. You are paying rent of 5 million, 6 million rent. When we came into Abuja here, I knew a man. I'm talking about 24 or something. Well, not immediately. Let's say 24 years ago. They were paying rent of almost 6 million. Of that time, between 6 and 12 million of that time. At that time, that the rent of 2 years of that time could have built a duplex. Then, you entered the premises, you thought it was his house in Maitama. Lush garden, beautiful scenery. Oh boy. It was rented house. As I speak today, those people don't have a house yet. As I speak today, the money that would have built many houses was wastefully used for rent. Okay? At that time, you could get a house in some places in town. Good houses, 120,000. Not like today. 120,000 garki, some 2-bedroom flat, those kind of things. And you can get there. Could have lived in such places and used the money to build a house.
But God said, this is too wasteful. At the time I'm talking about, we moved from one room in a boys' quarter to a two-bedroom in a low place. We can't give house as testimony now by God's mercies. You want God to bless you? Cut down waste. Cut down on the things you don't need. Don't buy them. Don't spend on impulse. Somebody said, I went to London. I bought a lot of suit. And while I was buying the suit, I thought of you. So I have brought to you to buy. Tell them I didn't think of it when you were thinking of it. Except if it is in your mind to buy the suit now. There are things people sell to you you didn't need. One day we were in a Wuse zone, was this zone 4, and somebody brought something he was selling. He was explaining it to me. I said, do you know exactly what he does? He said, he's not too sure. I said, have you used it before? He said, no. And you want to sell it to me? See you later. There are people who buy a lot of things they never needed. They bought shoes, they bought suits, they bought cars, they bought everything they never needed. And God is looking at them and say, look at this boy. He is a waster. He is a waster. Just limit what you can send her way. This girl is a waster. Is a waster. There is a kind of how car you will drive in front of a house you want to rent that will increase the house rent. Say, this man has this kind of car and is still renting the house. House is 2.5 million. Other people, he gave them 1.8. Say, he has money. And then you pay. Then under 6 months, you move to a bigger car. Much bigger car that you could have used to start maybe a house. And then the man comes back from work and sees a bigger car. In 3 days' time, he sends you a letter. He says, we want to review house rent. That will never be your portion. Somebody say a loud amen. There are some of us actually after this message, you need to pack some things and sell them off. And we live in days where anything can easily be sold off. And just let God know you are not a waster. He should try you with resources. And the resources will multiply in your hands. Stand up on your feet. Covenant details for supernatural supply. I have given you 8 points tonight. And let us go after it one by one. Please read it out with me. Want to go? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Number two, set your love on God. Number three, look up to God alone. Number four. Number five, faithful. Number six, be diligent. Number seven, avoid indebtedness. And number eight, avoid. Sometime on this ground, we did a meeting, right? And the meeting, it was titled Operation Avoid Waste. Is that right? Do you remember all of you? All the staff and everybody went into the premises. Anything that is wasting, anything that is hanging on the ground, pick it. They picked up cut pieces of metal, all manner of things on these premises. Everything that was just down doing nothing, some repackaged and then resold. Is that right? A whole building was built from the cut materials on the ground here. Pieces of aluminium, pieces of metal, all manner of things here. The title of it is Operation Avoid Waste. The after morning devotion, everybody went out and just go to the premises. We continue and we'll resume it back again. Any vehicle hanging on the ground, anything hanging somewhere here, repackage it and release it. And hallelujah. When God sees good management, he releases explosive resources. Many, many times, God is waiting for somebody to manage well so he can release the resources. Somebody say it loud. How many of you know that if this building was government project, it would have lasted for maybe 30 years. We'll still be at the foundation still till now. where I went to university, that town, they are building a stadium. You know the stadium? They are building a stadium there. And that stadium is almost 40 years now. It has not finished. It has not finished. They are building a stadium there. I can call the name of the place. The stadium has not been completed. Because one person comes and eat and eat, and then next person continue from where the last person stopped, destroying the place. But I see change coming on our nation. Write two conclusions and we pray. Please take your seat. Oh my God. It's already 7:40. Wow. Write two conclusions and then we pray. Number one, the covenant is beyond just giving and sowing. Conclusion is beyond it. The covenant of supernatural supply is beyond just giving and sowing. Don't say I pay my tithe, I give my offering, I do this and that. God must bless me. No. If there is nothing for God to bless, nothing. It's beyond just giving or sowing. And secondly, our conclusion is the working of the covenant is guaranteed where the details of the covenant are observed. The working of the covenant is guaranteed when the details of the covenant are observed. The working of the covenant is guaranteed when the details of the covenant are in place. So, I'll ask you to go. Look at what you have heard tonight and go and work it. And I believe in the name of Jesus, it will work for you and it will work in your hands. Anybody blessed tonight? Something is changing in your life. You know, the proof of knowledge is change. It doesn't matter what you hear. If it doesn't change anything in your life, you have heard nothing yet. It doesn't matter what you know. If it doesn't make you to change something you have been doing, you didn't hear it at all. And so I ask that you will go and change something so that God can change something towards you. Stand up on your feet with a loud shout of praise. A louder shout of praise. The loudmost shout of praise. Lift up your hands and lift up your voices and let's appreciate the King of Kings. Let's appreciate the Lord of Lords. Let's appreciate the great I am that I am for tonight. Worship Him for the word you have heard. Honor Him, adore Him, magnify Him. Father, we give You the praise. Father, we give You the honor. Father, we give You the adoration. Blessed be Your name. Ancient of Days. Lily of the Valley. We give You the praise. We give You the honor. We give You the adoration. Blessed be Your name. Honor to Your name. In Jesus' precious name. Lift your two hands and say after me, say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father. I have heard Your word today. I ask, Lord, that You'll give me the grace to comply, to live with Your word. Say again, say, Father, I have heard Your word today. Give me the grace to live in the revelation of Your word. Give me the grace to comply with Your word. Oh Lord, in the name of Jesus, open your mouth and speak to God. I have heard Your word today. I have heard Your word today. Give me the grace to live in the light of Your word. Give me the grace to live in the light of Your word. Give me the grace to comply. To live in the light of this revelation. I receive a grace. Lift your voice and speak to God. I receive grace to live in the light of Your word. I receive the grace to live in the light of Your word. Ikopati sefite keba dagalaya hazanarish.
Yes, Lord. I receive that grace. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord has heard and He has answered us in Jesus' name. Let's read Psalm 136 from verse 1 all the way to verse last. Responsively, I read verse 1, you read verse 2. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him alone doeth good wonders, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that by wisdom made the heavens, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that stretcheth out the hearts, for wonders, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that made great lights, for His mercy endureth forever.
The sun to rule by day, for His mercy endureth forever.
To the moon and the stars to rule by night, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him that smote Egypt in the first one, for His mercy endureth forever.
And brought out Israel among them, from among them, for His mercy endureth forever.
The strong hand and the desperate heart, for His mercy endureth forever.
To Him we divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy endureth forever. To Him we smote great kings, for His mercy endureth forever.
And slew famous kings, for His mercy endureth forever.
Sion, king of the Amorites, for His mercy endureth forever.
And all the king of Bashan, for His mercy endureth forever.
And gave their land for an heritage, for His mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for His mercy endureth forever.
And have redeemed us from our enemies, for His mercy endureth forever.
Who giveth food to all flesh, for His mercy endureth forever. Verse 26, everybody.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The mercy of God releases judgment on the enemies of God and His people, and releases deliverance, freedom, preservation on the people of God. We are going to apply for mercy for our nation, for judgment on the deserving, and for preservation for the nation. Mercy on the church, for judgment on the enemies of the church, and preservation. There is a landmark judgment that came out yesterday regarding the church. I'm sure you remember, you know that there is this Company and Allied Matters Act that some demonically motivated whatever says that the church could be, they could suspend trusteeship of church, they could hand over church to some managers, and all manner of, can close down a church if they deem fit. I don't know if you remember that. Maybe you didn't hear that, but the judge struck it out yesterday and said that secular organization has no power to govern or oversee a spiritual organization, a religious organization. Right yesterday, that victory came. We believe that there will be more victory for the body of Christ, more victory for the church, and more victory for the nation of Nigeria. We are asking for mercy for the church of Jesus in Nigeria. Mercy for this church and for your life and your family. Mercy means judgment on those who want you dead and preservation for your life. Are you ready for that? Lift your hands and your voice and say, Father.
Father.
Louder, say, Father.
Father.
In the name of Jesus,
I make demands.
For your mercy.
For your mercy.
For my life.
For my life.
For my family.
For my family.
For the church.
For the church.
For the church.
For the church.
In Nigeria.
In Nigeria.
For this church.
For this church.
For Dunamis.
For Dunamis.
For our nation.
For our nation.
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Oh Lord.
Oh Lord.
I ask for your mercy.
For your mercy.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
Your mercy.
For preservation.
For preservation.
For your people.
For your people.
And your mercy.
And your mercy.
For this, for vengeance
and
judgment
on
the adversary.
Father,
I receive mercy.
We receive
mercy.
Now,
open your mouth and pray for mercy.
mercy. We receive mercy. 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 I make demands for your mercy for my life and my family and the church in Nigeria, this church, Dynamis, and our nation, Nigeria, Lord. Mercy for the preservation of your people, and mercy for the judgment of the adversary. Mercy, 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 mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Yes, Lord. I apply for mercy. We apply for mercy. We apply for mercy. I apply for mercy. Preservation mercy for this man. Jesus' precious name. Lift up your two hands everywhere you are and let us receive mercy right now. Lift up the hands high.
Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come.
Get your hands, that's Christ. Lift up your hands and receive mercy. Mercy for yourself. Mercy for the church. Mercy for your family. Mercy for our nation. When I say the name of Jesus, you scream mercy and place the hand on yourself and pray in the spirit. That mercy will bring healing, will bring deliverance. It will bring preservation from premature death. I take authority over every arrow of strange disease. They are retrieved and refired back to hell. I take authority over every grave of premature death. I declare them covered right now in the name of Jesus. You shall live and you shall fulfill your days in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands high. When I say the name of Jesus, you scream mercy and place the hand on yourself. Father, let your mercy flow. Let your mercy flow. In the name of Jesus. Something that God did for you and you have not yet testified, or something because of this service, or an encounter, a visitation, a healing, you step forward and let, just 2 minutes, you step forward and let's hear from you. Give the Lord a praise. Congratulate 3 people around you and tell them congratulations for mercy.
You are God. You are not just evil. You are not just
God. Celebrate.
people. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Tell us, please be seated 1 minute.
Sister Victoria Dinka, 2 weeks ago, had a battle with some demons, and when she woke up all kinds of afflictions. Her right shoulder was locked with severe pains. In the course of this prayer, she said, fast charge to that shoulder, the shoulder was unlocked and the pain disappeared.
Congratulations. Every demonic attack on your life is reversed and returned back to hell in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. All right, confirm and let us know about this too. Now, while we are doing that, we'll just proceed straight. You are here this night and you are saying, Pastor, I need to hand over my life to Jesus. I want my sins forgiven. I want Jesus to be Lord over my life. Pick your Bibles and bags. Quickly step forward here and make your ways right with God. Be forgiven of your sins and have Jesus to be Lord over your life. On my left hand side here. While they are doing that, communion stewards can also take their position and make the communion available to the people. Quickly come forward here and make your ways right. Or you are bound by an addiction. Or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Whatever it is you want to do tonight, quickly come forward and let us know. Celebration is on.
Lord, I feel my heart in my soul. Are you?
Quickly come forward, those surrendering their life to Jesus. Everybody sing.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul.
Precious name of Jesus. Place your hand on your chest and again pray this prayer after me and say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of your help. Come into my life. Make me a new person. Today, it is my decision to follow you, Lord. No turning back. Forward ever, backward never. The grace to live for you, Lord, I receive it. And thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for you today. I ask that the grace to live for God be released upon you. Receive that grace now in the name of Jesus. Go forth and break forth and fulfill the purpose of God for your life. It's a new day for you in Jesus' name. Amen.